Dear associates in the path, my humble pranam to all of you gathered on this fourth anniversary day of Impedience. As you all know, this institution supports the ISRC in the training programs. The last 2 days, we were busy trying to inform new aspirants of the system of revered Babaji Maharaj. We utilize the days of celebration to guide those who are already practicing the system. All this we do is with a sense of service and dedication to the Master, and we try to make everything as open as possible without mystifying anything. The ISRC and Impedience are guided by a team of persons who are advanced in the path, elected by the general body of the organization annually in the nominal but necessary routine duties of how, when and where to conduct the programs, and is called the governing council, though there is nothing to govern. The collective decision made by them in favor of any person is the method adopted for according permission to work as trainer. We are all aware that our orientation is always to revered Babaji Maharaj, and then we have connection with him in the Dr. KCV order. The philosophy and practice taught in these institutions are those given by revered Babaji, and we only add our personal anubhava wherever necessary to explain the system. There is no head of these institutions as such is well known, but many do not understand the approach to spirituality we have and think that someone or the other is the head. As humanity advances more and more in spirituality, the non-head organizations will become normal. No one thus here amongst us is a guru, and that position is given to Mahatma Sri Ramchandra Ji Maharaj of Shahjahanpur, India, who is the Sadguru and Samartha Guru, as he gave us a new way of realization, and whose presence is what is enshrined in the hearts of all those who practice the system of balanced living. Talking or writing has become one of the most preferred means of communicating, though I personally think it is in silence that we communicate better. We all know that our Master revered Babaji Maharaj talked very little but communicated to us in silence, and the thoughts penetrated into our hearts without the medium of words. This is what he is doing even now. Revered Babaji Maharaj has informed Dr. KCV that I am reminded of Lord Krishna's prediction intercommunicated to me some time ago, that the time has not come for the people to have full understanding of your existence, though it shall definitely come, but only when you have given up the material form. Our awareness of his existence now is much more real to us, and this is understood only by persons who do not identify the existence with physical presence. Those who cling to notions of existence as restricted to physical forms and notions are condemned to learn in the long run only. It should be noted that the entire work of spirituality is done in silence. Dr. KCV Vardachari throws more light on this subject when he wrote that the mystic seer wishes to probe into that which is beyond thought and sense, and even the individual ego sense. He is determined to realize reality through thought if possible, if not through being itself. In one sense then, being becomes the mode by which being can be apprehended or grasped or made real to oneself. This is the meaning of anubhava, which may be properly translated as impedience rather than experience. It is an intuition rather than intellection, or discursive and dichotomic dialectic. Impedience is then a state of being and is not something restricted by the realm of thought, leave alone words. While explaining the goal we have to attain. He stated that we have to go beyond the jiva and beyond the Brahman to a condition that is neither thought nor motion. Those who say thought is motion are speaking nonsense, and those who maintain that motion has no thought are also speaking nonsense. They almost came together. They are like time and space, the two coordinates of existence. This is the picture which our master gives. It is simple, provided you rise up to the point of perception by impedience with the help of the divine cosmic. We may kindly note that thought is the basic character of both the Atman and Brahman, and while motion qua motion is the way of the Atman, motion as development is what the Brahman is. This clarity in the nature of the Atman and Brahman is given to us by our Grand Master Lalaji Maharaj, about which we have had occasions to discuss earlier. I would like to redefine the state of impedience as the wisdom that is definitive of the state of integral wholesome awareness that is gained in the moments of contemplation after we have had a dip in the state of nothingness, wherein there is neither the internal nor the external. This is not any philosophical concept that I am putting forward, but is the essence of my meditations that recurs daily. I am aware of many assembled here who have the same experience and are grateful to our Lord for the same. I try here to explain matters that are not easily amenable to the language that we have, to express and clarify to the best of my capacity. I request the spirit of this communication may be taken, and not the words which are in any way, most of the time, inappropriate. During meditations, when we are deeply absorbed, there comes a state when the condition of near but never absolute non-conscious state is reached. Our being takes the character of an almost static, all-inclusive single-point orientation to pure and absolute consciousness, subjective activity, and such an orientation also represents a state of nearly infinite potentiality for expansion. It is our impedience that at the very moment when the principle of duality or awareness of our condition of being in prayer is the weakest it can ever be, our separateness forces its right to existence and to challenge the nearly all-powerful impedience of integral oneness. Being almost totally absorbed and condensed into a nearly all-inclusive ecstasy of unity or blessing splendor, a nearly timeless impedience of beingness is compelled by the oscillatory momentum of the movement of wholeness to reverse its polarity. This phenomena is what I had felt in my case, as also that of others, when such a reversal had to be willed to facilitate the yatra in higher planes of consciousness. This is the phenomena of what revered Babaji called the principle of invertendo. The center that has yawned to the circumference in each knot gets once more moved by the idea of a circle it would centralize. The incredibly condensed core of subjective being, burdened by samskaras or by the memory of its existential dimensions, is not allowed by the movement of wholeness to reach the condition of a dimensionless point. It is perfectly in order if I were to state that the agony of being in being, but that is a lot of very few whom I had occasions to come across. The restlessness that exists here is an apparent state of balance, is a matter to be impedienced. However, there is happiness that we are not alone here, as Master put it in his book Efficacy of Raja Yoga. The first person who reached the central region is still swimming to reach the shores of the infinite. It is evident for the serious aspirants that the structure of events in transcendent states of consciousness is different from what we have in our everyday mode of living. In particular, the subject-object duality, that characterizes the manner in which we ordinarily think is superseded by consciousness without an object. If we understand this, we will be able to appreciate Dr. KCV's restrictive usage of the term experience for events that occur in the relative domain, and why he coined the term experience for transcendent events. In our ordinary state of consciousness, knowledge is possible through the two processes of sensory perception and rational thinking, whereas in the transcendent domain, a new mode of knowledge becomes available, knowledge through identification with that which is known, or what some thinkers call noetic. That is what we mean by the word laya or mergence. The states of laya or mergence are as many as the knots and subknots and buffers. Impedience then would mean wisdom through identity and its characteristics, or that it is immediate and highly noetic. This is not in any way affecting the earlier definition I made of this word, and as a matter of fact, this only elaborates the same. It is not anything happening internal or inside our body, but something that is integral and universal so far as the aspirant is concerned. True it is that there is something imperial about the word, and that is meant to be so. There is no regality that is more than the divine regality. Furthermore, there is an ontological inversion between everyday and transcendent states. The substance of our everyday consciousness that we take to be real turns out to be only apparently real when we move from the consciousness prevailing in the lower portion of the heart to the higher portion. Unless this happens, there is no significant change in our consciousness warranting us to state that we have progressed. While this is the first inversion that has to be attended to, there are many more to come as we move in the path. In fact, as revealed by our great master Revered Babaji, there is an inverse relationship between the various knots, and the inversion has to be reverted so that we may move from the apparent reality in one plane to the substantial reality in the next plane. There is thus a series of inversions and reversions that happen in our journey to the infinity. This work gets done best with the help of the trainer, and in the cooperation of the aspirant, and the cooperation of the aspirant is paramount. Every aspirant should note that molding is possible only when the substance sought to be molded is malleable. The consciousness in the deep states of absorption had at the higher planes of consciousness, more particularly after we pass the realms of Parabrahma and Mandal, grants us a state of awareness that is had after we come out of the state of absorption, that we were through a realm where light is not felt and darkness also is absent. This is a matter of personal growth, and I do not think I can explain it better. Our brother K.C. Sri Krishna has pointed out to me the similarity of this state to the state of event horizon that is described in astrophysics. The event horizon, I understand, is the gravity field of a black hole where the space-time is so bent that light cannot escape it. The event horizon creates a region in space where nothing can escape. Thus, when something enters the event horizon, it will vanish without a trace. If the object initially were to be emitting something, after it is enveloped by the event horizon, not even the emissions that traced its existence will escape the black hole. This state may be summarized to mean that God abhors a naked singularity. This means that no one outside of the event horizon is capable of observing what is inside a black hole. During meditations, when we are in a state of an initial expansiveness and find that the scenario has become dimensionless expansiveness, that is, all the 10 dimensions are totally enveloped by the awareness that does not cognize any light of any type, and even when the grey color is totally absent, there comes a state in the not fully understood center of the expansion, a sudden collapse, and the state of awareness or identity is totally gone. We enter into a state which we do not know how to describe, as the awareness is something that comes after we emerge from this state and then feel that we were into nothingness. So such is the nature of laya or mergence that we experience in each knot and sub-knot on the path towards infinity. This is what I understood to be the meaning of the concept of several sandhyas apart from the physical ones that we see at sunrise and sunset. After each encounter with nothingness that is had in the different knots, there is an emergence of a new and refined identity or singularity of being. The various shades of sublimity or singularity that we have in the various knots have been described in the book Path of Grace. The wisdom that gets generated due to these experiences is what I consider to be the enabling factor in understanding the real meaning of the various commandments of the Master. That is what was sought to be portrayed in the book Imperience Because. Master has categorically stated that the book on commandments was written in a state of superfine state of spirituality. It was our endeavor to present a picture of the various commandments imperienced in this manner with the conditions in the various knots and also the different realms and regions of spirituality that we go through during our march to infinity. It is our considered opinion that this interpretation of the commandments of the Master makes the original work more meaningful, and do not agree with others who feel that these injunctions are not all that necessary when one has a love for the Master. During this year, we have been able to present the original text in Urdu of the book along with its transliteration and translation, thanks to the initiative and zeal of Dr. Janardhan Reddy Garu, who shared his moments of joy and happiness he found in the work of the Master. When we go through the various states of emergence and identicality, and we move out of the rings of splendor, we find that though re-emergence is there, it is but nominal. This is what was tried to be portrayed in the cover page of the book Event Horizon, where we presented the state of insignificance that moves through the singularity of the Master into nothingness. The knots and centers that are identified in the human frame, where a particular type of consciousness reigns and which have a binding nature too, had been the subject of research at the institution of Imperience. It is because of the problems in training that arose in the system during Revered Babaji's lifetime itself, or due to the, I feel, lack of understanding of the role of Pranahuti and that of the trainer, many problems arose to the aspirants in the path. The Institute is trying to help the aspirants in the path, explaining several intricacies. The seminars and workshops we have had so far try to meet this requirement to some extent. We have already published papers on Pranahuti and on many occasions clarified for ourselves the nature and role of Pranahuti. We are attempting a comprehensive booklet on the subject, and a draft on Pranahuti is getting finalized, and the assistance of several seekers in the content and manner of presentation of the subject is gratefully acknowledged. The article, The Method of Training, was written by the Master during the seminar of trainers in 1970, where the lapses in the work of the trainers were fully discussed. The papers discussed are today not available with SMRI of SRCM or with us. Fortunately, the talk of the Master, Revered Babaji Maharaj, on this occasion is available with us, however badly preserved, and that is made available to all in the CD, which contains 6 talks of the Master and a song too. Those of you who don't have, kindly collect it if you are interested. The article, They Have Lost Devotion, was published in 1976 or thereabouts. Finding that there is no change in the attitude of the persons involved in the work of the Master, the Master in this article laments openly, as contrasted to the veiled versions in the earlier talk, about the work of the preceptors and prefects. How the trainers have developed their ego and are lost in their own vanity, prescribing methods of their own, is the subject matter of the talks. We have requested some senior aspirants in the path to present a paper today on the topic of interest to all of us, namely, a few are so barren who confuse dal for boiled rice and take a great pleasure in this confusion. I do hope that the papers will throw some light on the subject and enable all in the field to understand their responsibilities and work for the Master with greater zeal and enthusiasm. My humble pranams to all of you.